Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Budrich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
2:30, the Bucks. He keeps trying to tell me it's no big deal. Ralph Mullenborough, Saints Happy Hour podcast, that the Bucks quarterbacks can't complete passes. He's not worried. I will tell you this. I'm very relaxed about the Saints quarterback position because of what I've seen in 4 weeks. Does that make sense, sir?
Yeah, no, listen, the Bucks are going to be unwatchable, guys. there's potential in the NFC South, right, where, like, it's so kind of bad and all these teams have a lot of questions. And there's a path for, like, the Saints if things go right, obviously, in Carolina and even Atlanta. Like, Tampa, I think it's much more likely that Tampa's unwatchable and, like, by Halloween, their fans are like, it's tankathon time for Caleb Williams. So, like, the Saints, like, everything's been good. And you know, I'm not going to claim to be a reporter in the Nick Underhill category and that sort of stuff, breaking news. But I have a couple people in the building that communicate with me. And I can tell you, they are over the moon about Derek Carr.
Yeah,
it's like everything about him, how he comports himself, the on the field, the off the field. And I think it's kind of obvious because, I mean, listen, say what you want about Derek Carr. He lives his life a certain way. He doesn't waver from it. And I know, like, the Henry Ruggs thing, he handled that beautifully. Even the Gruden thing with the Raiders, you know, that was complete chaos. He handled it. And he takes his faith really seriously. But he's always been that way. And he's not sort of a guy that sort of talks about his faith but doesn't really live it. Like, he lives it. And I just think he's a guy that's going to be at least what we think he is, which is going to be, even if he's just that, that's going to be like the 12th to 14th best quarterback. And the thing about the Saints offense was, it was so sneaky bad the last 2 years at certain things that I just think when we start watching him and we're like, oh, wow, Derek Carr, he can make a play on third and seven. Like, it's going to open up your eyes and you're going to realize, like, 20, and it kind of got hidden because of Sean Payton, because he was a great coach. But, man, that offense has been awful for 2 years. And I think it's just kind of, we fought over Jameis and these sorts of things. But, like, they had fundamental things wrong with it. And I think if they just get to average or slightly above average, it's going to feel incredible. It's like me with no air conditioning. You know, I'm sitting in my house, it's 87 degrees. Once they get the air conditioning fixed, and it gets to 80, I'm going to be like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, here we are making fun of what was it? The government says we need to set it at 82 or something like that. I'm like, what?
No.
Heat index was 105 when I walked the dog at 7:30 last night, Ralph. So it's warm, to say the least, man. But look, I want to quickly rapid fire some things here. That these are reasons I'm excited, right? So this week we got to lay eyes on a practice with, let's start with Alvin Kamara. You see the difference, man. And I get it. You and I have gone back and forth. I don't know why people want him traded. He's not a problem. The guy still looks fast. He looks great. Yeah. More importantly, to the point you just made, the quarterback, he had a lot of high praise on going on there. And I noticed that, and again, I understand it's two practices, three practices. But when I look at the backs they brought in, Jamal Williams, who looks like a rhino, dude, out there, who has a great attitude. Kendre Miller, another, they said it specifically draft night, he's a north-south guy. I think Alvin Kamara is going to go back to the vision that Peyton had of him, Marshall Faulk-like. Out of the backfield, toss in space, the in the tackles, in between the guard runs, I think it's going to be number 30, number 25, not 41.
No, I think that's exactly right. And listen, Kamara was kind of the guy going back, because last year he really struggled. And I think, like, the rib injuries, and we kind of just take that off. You know, if a guy, if he doesn't blow out his knee or it's not some catastrophe, we're always like, oh, it's just an ankle. It's just whatever. It's just for some ribs. But I really think that affected him. And, it, like, I would bet, like, it kind of affected his fumbling, too. Because we'd never seen him fumble. And then last year, by his standards, he's fumbling all over the place. But I think what we had forgotten is in 2021, you remember, like, when they didn't have Kamara, they didn't have the quarterback, they had the five-game losing streak, right? And he came back, and he kind of gave the offense, like, a floor. But Peyton was pounding him between the tackles. And we were like, well, what else are they going to do, right? We have Taysom at quarterback and no receivers. But, like, he is not built for that. And he did it against Atlanta in the season finale when they needed to win. They could have made the playoffs. But, like, he is not built for that. And I think you're right. Like, they need to get him. He needs to be, Gus, in about the, like, I would say, like, about 180 to 200 touches. And that's, like, 80 catches and, like, 120 runs. And he needs those, like, at his age now, Gus, and I know this is going to infuriate people, but I'm okay. I'm going to say it. Like, he needs to get some of them business decision runs. Like, you remember Ted Ginn? He played 100 years. That dude would make a lot of business decisions. He'd catch the ball. It'd be like a 20-yard gain. He'd be like, yeah, I can.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I can try to run over this guy or deke him and get 5 more yards and maybe get tackled, or I can just step out of bounds and we can have 1st and 10 at the 45. Like, we need about 40, 50 of those runs from Alvin Kamara, where it's like a 15-yard run and he's just got the first down, he's going to step out of bounds. Like, and now we can, I think, we'll be okay with those business decisions because the Saints' offense is going to be better.
Yeah,
but that's what he needs to be. Because here's the thing, man: running backs, when they get close to 30, they fall off a cliff.
The other thing too, though, man, what I loved about it, and you brought it up, I loved hearing Derek Carr Tuesday say, "Man, I'm not here to reinvent the wheel or to just make the right decision and get it to these guys. Like, yes, don't try to overdo it." And then even I love how he answered the question about playing with a good defense. He's like, "Man, it matters. You know, it's like I don't need to force the issue." And I brought this up to 4K yesterday on the show, who's a quarterback. I love the fact that it seems like every single minute of the day, not my words, Michael Thomas, Eric McCoy, Taysom Hill, like all these people that spoke this week, all Derek Carr does is talk about football, situation, down in distance, this is where I want to go, what are you doing? If somebody's doing that in May and in June, Ralph, how does that not translate on a Sunday or Monday or a Thursday, whenever they play, during the football season? You understand what I'm saying? Like, you can't win just by showing up, Jameis, Andy, on a Sunday and saying, let's call and run the play. I love this being very Breeze-like, preparing my mind, preparing my teammates for what to expect and to come, so I'm calm and collective. Now I see why he has 40-plus comeback wins.
Well, here's the thing, man. The longer I watch football, I believe that there's certain positions, like, you can work really hard and be like, I'm gonna kill myself. I'm gonna work like Michael Thomas. I'm gonna work really hard, but you know what? I'm not gonna live it 20 hours a day. I'm just gonna work my butt off in practice, watch the film, be in shape, and it's gonna be fine. I'm gonna be good to go. But Gus, I believe like quarterback in the NFL, you can't really be like that. Like, you have to be a psychopath, you know, and you have to be like, honey, I'm not going to play with the kids today. I got to watch film. Like, it's just, you have to be that sort of locked into it. And that's the stunning thing with the Raiders to me is, like, because, you know, we talked about it, I think, last, you know, in the OTAs, where Carr had kind of like, he's like, oh, the Saints are like, oh, you do that well, you can change the play, you can do that, that's cool, we'll do more of that. And I took that as a shot against the Raiders, and that's why I could never understand, like, the Raiders, like, wouldn't let him change the play, they wouldn't let him do the protections, and it was like, what are you doing? Like, it's 2022, buddy, you got to let your quarterback do that sort of thing. So, I'm bullish on the Saints. Like, I think they're going to be really good and fun. And here's the thing: forget about health and players breaking out. Gus, Mina Kimes reminded him this of me because she said, you know, since week 9, the Saints DVOA for defense was second in, like, yards per play and EPA. It was all like top 5, top 2 since the second half of the year. And I just made a joke, and she's like, if they get turnover aggression, they're going to be really good. I said, Nina, the Saints, it ain't about turnover aggression. They're in a turnover desert. They didn't have a corner intercept a pass till Lattimore had to pick 6 in week 17. My girl, I'm like, that's not turnover luck. Like, if the Saints just go to, like, middle of the pack,
right,
creating turnovers, they're going to be fine on defense. And if they get one of those years where it's like 2009, where, like, the turnover fountain just starts to run and they're getting turnovers left and right and it doesn't stop, Katie barred the door. Then you're talking, I think, about a 12, 13 win team. Because, man, turnovers are one of those things, like, even, like, you can't predict them. You can't really fix them. Like, you can be a team that, like, we're focused on stripping the ball, but that don't mean you're going to recover it, right? Like, the Saints' interception luck last year between the penalties and the – like, it was incredible. So I think the Saints, they're built for success. You know, the thing is,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
To me, and I really, this is what I'm going to be focused on, really, is Dennis Allen. Is if the offense is good and they give him reason to believe in them, is he going to be more aggressive? Because, Gus, I'm not saying he has to be an analytics ball, you know, pedal to the metal guy of going for it on every fourth down like the Eagles do or whatever. But he's got to be more aggressive. But the Saints offense has to give him a reason to. So, but I'm going to be really interested. Like, if we're in midseason, right, and it's like, you know, the beginning of November, and the Saints are like the 8th, 9th, maybe higher best offense, and they're really cooking, it's going to drive us batty if it's like, it's 4th and 1 from the 33. I'm going to kick this 50-yard field goal. Like, that'll make – you think you were enraged about it last year, Gus? You'll be even more enraged about it this year if the offense is good. So, like, that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be looking at that. Like, Dennis Allen, is he going to be, like, I know he's a defensive guy, so I'm not saying, like, go crazy. Just but Dennis, you got to be, like, 25% more aggressive. You got to hit on that 16 against the dealer showing a face card every once in a while, my guy.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Like I said, I'm interested because – look, health is something that every team needs. I mean, the Ravens without Lamar are different if the Jets don't get Aaron Rodgers on the field. So health affects everybody. But my goodness gracious, I look at that schedule. I mean, you got a receiver in Chicago that's already unhappy, or they're unhappy with him. And, you know, they're picking the Bears to be a player. I'm just looking at the Saints schedule. 6 of the possible top 10 picks or the teams they're going to pick in the top 10 the Saints have on their schedule. They're not picking in the top 10 because they're good, Ralph. That means they're not good. So, I mean, I just look at it, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't see how this team doesn't win 11, 12 games. I really honestly don't.
here's to me what's going to happen with the Saints, and I truly believe, because I believe we've talked about it ad nauseum. Like there's a whole circuit of national media people. They don't like the Saints. They don't like how they operate. They don't want to give them success. They don't want to give them credit for anything. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to come to a point where the Saints are going to have a really good season, and they're going to be like 9-3, 10-2, whatever. And the people that don't like the Saints are going to bang on them. And they're just going to, they're either going to say their point differential isn't good enough or their schedule is too easy. Look at all these terrible quarterbacks they're going to play. But here's the thing. I don't care if the Saints 2023 schedule is a layup line, Gus, all the better.
There it is. As always, man, appreciate the time, sir. We will talk again next week. Hopefully you have some AC by then. Thank you, bud.
Thank you.